Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1005. This is your host, Danny, and I'm live here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is my first time coming over here, and thanks to GameStop, they invited me and others, other content creators and journalists. They wanted to give us a tour of their new concept store called GameStop 2.0. Also, there's another one of a retro store version. And my favorite, GameStop Social. We're going to talk about my experience over here. How was it? My thoughts about just the idea of the changes and everything for the retailer company. And also, I have an interview, which I know you already heard the first interview with Zach Shore. He's the head of innovation at GameStop. That was from the last episode. So if you missed that, make sure to go to episode 1004 and make sure to check that out. It's a really, really good interview. And this one, we were actually driving from Tulsa to another location. It was like a good 40, 45-minute drive because the team wanted us to see the retro store because we were like, nah, man, we have to see it. We can't just leave and not go because originally we were planning to go to another store and just check out like the new look and everything. But we were like, man, we already seen a couple other ones, but let's check out the retro. Look, I'm a retro guy. So we were super excited to see that one. So we went, and while we were driving, actually going to the store, I sat down with Frank Hamlin. He is the chief customer officer for GameStop. And we had a long conversation about just how the concept came about, the struggle, the good and the bad. We talked about everything. Also, you know, I brought up about next gen console. That's how that's going to hurt or help the company. And we talked about a lot of things. I think, you know, one thing that I realized after coming over here, you know, because I think it was like the day of that I was flying to Tulsa that I got to see a lot of the negative posts about the company. And look, man, let's be real. All retails are going through a lot of struggle right now because of the changes, you know, digital media. Also, just people are just, they'd rather just buy something from home and not go to the store, you know? So, you know, I think it's good to talk to people that are just used to talk like, you know, regular journalists like Forbes and so on. So it was cool that I sat down with Frank and also Zach and this is the first time them actually talking to like a, you know, podcast. It was a great conversation, I think, overall. So you, the listeners, please let me know your thoughts overall of just the conversation with both. And I'm really curious to hear your feedback about this, you know. So, but at the same time, once I was talking to Frank and they, you know, they give us a tour of all the stores and, you know, first night, actually, Friday night, they took us to first dinner, we were eating and everything, and then we went to GameStop Social. This one is also located here in Tulsa. That's the biggest store that I've seen so far out of all the GameStop stores, besides the 134th Street in New York City. But this one is really, really big. There's a two-couch co-op where you could play any games. You could try it out, sit there with a friend, play like four players. I think that's awesome. Also, there's 36 gaming stations where, let's say you go, you could, let's say you take your child, you go with your friends, You go and request a game, you get at least 15 minutes for free, or you pay $5 and you play for like a full hour. It could be any game because they have them all for PC, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4. So that was super cool. So when we got there, they had Fortnite Fridays. Every gaming station was completely full. Every single one of them. I think there was maybe one that a parent was just sitting next to his kid, but it was completely full. And I love that because forget about the company, forget about GameStop, but, and I always mention this every single time I do speaking engagements, nothing beats face-to-face interaction with people. There's nothing that could beat that at all. I don't care how many times you play online. There's nothing. It's powerful to me. We're totally missing that nowadays. That's why I always go to like, you know, different venues in New York. I go to iOS, OS NYC, and also 368 because there's always free events where people could go and meet other gamers from the gaming community, man, the local area. So that was really cool to see that, man. It reminded me back then when I was a kid that a lot of us would get together and play like arcade machines and or when I created my own like a little club where people will come and pay me and they'll play my Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. That was like it was super cool to see that. It reminded me so much about that. So they gave us the tour. Also, every store has a tabletop where people could go there and play D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, or any other thing like Pokemon or anything like that. So every store we went to, it was completely full. Like, I've never seen that table empty at all. So that was a huge success on that part. The gaming station was really, really cool because, again, you could play any games you want. So I remember walking around. There was a lot of people playing PlayStation 4s, like the first night. There was a couple PC and a couple of Xbox, but the majority was just strictly PlayStation 4. And there was one person that was actually playing one of the Pokemon games from Nintendo Switch. So I was like, all right, cool. So there's a little mix here, you know, just one station is like that, you know. So, but it was so much fun seeing like just the parent taking their kids because, hey, I'd rather take him a place like this because if you go to like a place like Dave & Buster's, you have to pay for that and everything. This one is actually pretty cheap, like the price. And I think Fortnite Fridays is free. It's actually free. And it was cool to see that, you know. So, and they'll have all types of tournaments for young and old. And also the next day we went back with her and they had a class, coding class for kids. I was like, man, that is so cool, man, seeing that. Because, you know, the next generation, who knows what type of games they could create in the future once they get older, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't completely full. It was a very smaller group, but I see the potential of something like if they continue doing this, you know, doing workshops. And also, I had a conversation with GameStop about maybe also while the kids are playing at the gaming stations, take advantage of the table, right, of the big table where people play D&D and everything, and take the parameters there and do also a workshops for them to learn about the rating system, how that works, and about just games. Because there's a lot of parents still are kind of confused about gaming. They don't know much about none of that, you know, about the ratings, how that works, and about just gaming in general. And I think that will be a really cool educational moment for them to learn about all that stuff. So super cool. First night was amazing. Then one of our community members, he's also a listener, Beaker, he lives locally here in Tulsa, and we got to meet up over there at the store. He actually been to the store before, but he didn't want to show me the picture because he wanted to surprise me, you know, when I get there for the first time and checking it out. So I was like, I was always mentioning this to the team, like, why you guys don't take this, like, this cool concept that you have here and take it to other cities, especially the major cities. Don't see this as a competition with other venues that have something similar to this. But the more the better. There's more places for people to go and hang out, do little meetups and stuff. Like, I think that was super, super cool. I love the idea. Like, when I got there, you know, usually when you go to a GameStop store in the past, you feel pressure because the employee will go up to you and start promoting like stuff like, hey, you want to pre-order this? You want to do this? It wasn't like that at all. When I went to three stores, actually. A couple went to like another one, a fourth one, but I couldn't go to that one. That was like close by at a mall. But I've never felt that vibe like that. And I think we need more of that. Like, actually, when we went to the store, the employees was just talking to us like, hey, how's everything? What do you think of the concept? And like, just talking, right? We were having a long conversation at the retro store about like our favorite old games. We talk about Sega Dreamcast, and I got to see the collection of games that they have. We were talking, just hanging out, chilling. It was super cool. And that's what I like. I love when they're not pressuring people to buy stuff, you know, because you just want to go in and just want to get out, you know. But the changes, I'm loving the changes so much. And I want to mention this too. So the second day, we went to the retro store. Now, here's the difference between GameStop Social and GameStop Retro Store. So when you go to the retro store, again, there's a tabletop spot area where people could play D&D, Pokemon, or just sit down and talk. And it's totally free for both areas. But here's the difference. The retro games is also actually free, that you could play Halo, Mario's Double Dash, which that's the one that we were playing. You could play any games, request it, and it's totally, totally free. I was like, man, that is super cool. So you don't pay on that one. Now, but when you go to GameStop version 2.0 and also GameStop Social, that one you need to pay for the gaming stations. But remember, 15 minutes for free. Like, let's say you get there and there's a new game you want to try out right before you buy. Instead of playing a demo, just say, hey, I want this game. They'll go from any system and you can play it for free for the first 15 minutes. At least it reminds me of, like, you know, back in the days. Okay, this is for the older crowd here. Remember back in the days when you go to Blockbuster Music and you want to listen to like an album right before it comes out, right? You go, you give them the CD to the employee, they open it up, boom, and they put in the CD player, and you put your headphones on and you're listening to the album. If you like the album, you buy it. If you don't like it, you don't buy it. So that's cool that we could do something similar like that, but with gaming, you know, instead of, nowadays, there's barely any demos now, or maybe like betas here and there, right? But let's say a single player game, there's no demo. You could go to the store, and instead of watching it on Twitch, somebody playing it, you can go to the store and actually play yourself. That was cool. I think that's pretty awesome. Just overall, I think it was cool to just talking to them about this concept. And, you know, I was super curious, and you guys could listen to the podcast. Like, why Tulsa out of all places? Like, why not, let's say, Dallas or New York City, L.A., San Diego, Chicago? Like, there's so many other places. Like, why is Tulsa? And you got to hear what Frank has to say, and also Zach, about why the team decided to do that around here. And for those that follow me on Twitter, make sure to follow me, Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E. That's Godfrey. Follow me. When I posted the videos from the stores, I was doing that like for the past 2 days. Everybody, the majority that saw the videos, they were loving it. They were like, man, they should bring that over here, and so on. And overall, it's been really positive. You know, usually people always talk stuff about, like, you know, negative things about the company, and I didn't see that. Maybe like one or two, you probably see that, but the majority of people were like, man, I love this concept. I will take my kids, I will go myself, I will take my friends. Everybody was saying that. And one of the things I brought up to Frank, and you're going to listen to it in the interview, like, it reminded me of the time when I used to go meet up with friends at the arcade spot, you know, like that type of vibe, you know, and or when I used to do events for Gamertag Radio Community Vibes, we had systems there, and people would go and play tournaments like Halo, Gears, and all that. So, man, I see the potential. Just put it this way. Imagine Halo Infinite is coming out. Halo Infinite is coming out. You pre-order the game at the store, and you go to GameStop Social, because you're here right before midnight. there's going to be a tournament, and you'll be part of the tournament, and whoever wins will get a free copy of the game. Imagine that. Like, that's something will be really, really cool. And the only people that we could play are the ones that actually pre-order the game, you know, at that store. See, things like that make sense, and it's super, super cool. I had a great time, and I'm really curious to see to hear like the feedback from you, the listeners. Let me know what you think about the interviews. I think it was awesome. Very laid back. It wasn't like something like PR-ish at all. It was just a conversation, and I asked them some really tough questions, man, about, you know, the struggle that's going on with the company, man. Like, it's a very interesting time, and especially now with the whole you know, next gen consoles coming out and everything. So I'm gonna play this interview here with Frank Hamlin, and let me know what you think, man. So before we go, this is the stores that they have, the concept stores, right before I wanna mention that before we go to the interview. So there's the GameStop 2.0. This is just a regular store, right? Where, again, there's couch co-op, tabletop gaming area where people could play Dungeons and Dragons. Also, there's small there's stations, but it's not a lot compared to the GameStop Social. It's a little bit smaller. That one has 12 stations, right? So, of course, it's just a store. You could play all the games. You could buy, pre-order, same thing as a regular GameStop. PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. Now, GameStop Social, this one is way bigger, and this is where you're going to see a lot more events. It's 36 gaming stations where businesses can come, play on the PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch. And this is a perfect area where people could do parties, watch esports tournaments. Maybe, let's say, the other day they had the Animal Crossing there and people could go and watch it, like Nintendo Direct, E3 week. That would be an awesome time where you could watch press conferences and everything there. Also, coding classes. They have like vacation camps, birthday parties, etc. Now, GameStop Retro, that's the one that I really enjoyed too. This one is similar to GameStop 2.0, but this one is designed with the like best libraries of pre-owned games here from locally from Tulsa. And this one, of course, it has a huge, massive, and I know this is like extremely heavy, CRT TVs. They actually have four, and it's also between the middle of the two TVs on each side. There's all the consoles. There's Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. They even have a Retron where you could play Game Boy games, Game Boy Advance, NES, Super NES, everything. Also on the side, they also have like little arcade machines. Like there was one that I was playing there for a little bit, which is Pac-Man. So that was awesome. So remember, those games are totally, totally free. You can play there anytime you want. You can do tournaments. Like they were even playing Halo, the original Halo game there. The original one. Not the one from the Master Chief Collection. The original from the original Xbox. That was cool. All right. So that's about it. So I'm going to take a short break. Remember, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Please hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think. I'm curious to hear everybody's thoughts about this. Also, you could also contact us for fan mail, and here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So if you decide to email us, you know, we're going to read it, listen to it, we're going to play it here on the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. And we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, my interview, podcast exclusive, with Frank Hamlin, the chief officer at GameStop. So we'll be right back after this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
My name is Frank Hamlin, Chief Customer Officer for GameStop, based out of Grapevine, Texas.
All right, so we're going to go back a few hours ago. The first time I met you, we ate breakfast at the hotel.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that you said was that you're not a gamer at first. Like, you were not into gaming stuff, but something changed your opinion about gaming, that you're like, oh man, this is a whole different world, man. So let's start with that, man.
Let's start with, first of all, don't throw me under the bus for not being a gamer. I have a huge passion for passion categories. So I'm a musician. I was a music major in college.
Okay.
I worked for Guitar Center for years. I worked in cut my teeth in business, in the record business in Nashville for the first 9 years of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a great love for niche passions. And gaming to me, you know, I had a stereotype of it was this introverted, single-focused, unique pursuit. And the first time I went to E3 in 2014, it just completely opened my eyes to, wow, what an amazing community this is, and how much the community is extroverted and wants to interact with each other and commune and kibitz about gaming.
So what was it about E3 2014 that you were like, wow, this is, what was it, a booth? Was it
just
environment?
Well, I mean, it was open to the last day there, it's open to the public.
Yeah.
And people were beating the doors down, and I was like, what in the heck is going on here? I didn't realize, you know, which is, you know, your listeners are going to almost laugh at that, because people that have been living in the culture go, yeah, man, you know.
Yeah.
But that to me was the eye-opening thing, was to see people, and I can't stress this enough, it's the fact that they were out in the wild, so to speak, as human beings interacting with other human beings. It wasn't over a headset. It wasn't through the ether. It wasn't streaming. It was the need for the community to get together as humans, viscerally, in real life. And that was the thing that opened my eyes to how much of a community this really is, and how much GameStop needs to kind of, to a degree, revert to its roots, but also fundamentally transform to embrace the community aspect of it as much as the transactional aspect of it.
So retail nowadays, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle,
yeah.
Especially GameStop. Been making some changes throughout the years. But, you know, I know you guys came up with this concept idea, which for me personally, I think is a really, really cool concept of GameStop version 2.0, retro store, social.
Yep.
How that whole idea came about, and why was it so important for the company to start making changes like that?
Well, first and foremost, the consumer's move to digital is something that we're embracing, and we think that for certain customers in certain occasions, that's the right experience for that customer. We still think physical games for the certain customer in certain occasions is also a great experience. But what digitization has done primarily for our business is, you know, I know there's a lot of articles out there about, oh, you're the next Blockbuster. I don't think we are, because we're not just a software provisioner. We sell hardware, we sell accessories out in droves, we sell collectibles, we sell used video games, etc. And the biggest problem that any physical bricks and mortar retailer has in this digitized world is getting people to leave their sofa and actually come to shop and experience the retail experience. And so that's the core problem that we were trying to solve. And then in terms of inspiration, the aforementioned, you know, E3 notion of people viscerally want to commune in this category. And we saw it in specs when, you know, you had a big title launch at midnight, The community comes out and rallies around the game. But the question is, do they want to do that on a consistent basis? And, you know, the metaphor that, in my early days at GameStop 2014 that I was using is, if E3 is sort of the Vatican or Mecca, why isn't the local GameStop the local church or mosque? And that has been sort of the underlying metaphorical question that's opened up, you know, how we're creating this experiment in Tulsa. The second is, you know, a focus group of one, which is my youngest son, Henry, who is a very core Fortnite player. He's got a buddy who's making good money playing in tournaments, doing it. And just observing the behavior of that was, I would see Henry and his buddies come over to the house. They might play basketball for a little bit, go into the kitchen, make a mess of the kitchen, and then head to the playroom. And everybody would sit around the PS4 and play Fortnite. And you could set your watch to, within 35 or 40 minutes, he would come back to the kitchen and say, "Dad or Mom, can you take Johnny, Jimmy, and Billy home? We want to go home and play Fortnite together."
Yeah.
And I'm a 51-year-old guy, and as a 51-year-old guy, you go, it's cognitive dissonance for a 51-year-old to say, wait a minute, everybody's going to go to their own home to play together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very, very cool experience, and I know that Fortnite, for that generation, for that player, has very much just become kind of the social lubricant for how they get together as friends. But the premise of the GameStop is, do you want to do this in real life? And so the question I posed to my son Henry was, Henry, what if I put in this playroom, you know, four consoles with four monitors and four gaming chairs, and you could sit in here with your buddies and play Fortnite sitting next to each other? Would people go home? And he was like, no, we wouldn't go. Of course we wouldn't go home. We would love to be sitting here. And he goes, would you do that for me, Dad? And I said, of course I'm not going to do that for you, but what if we did that in GameStop? And so we did a ton of consumer research around the various customer segments, and GameStop has always done really well with what we're calling either the seasoned gamer or the completionist gamer, which is more of a RPG player or just a campaign kind of game, single player mode game, where you play the game, you win the game, you bring the game back, you plow it into your next game. As multiplayer has come out, that's been a headwind to traffic, because people who are into big MMO games, and it's always, they're playing against other live human beings, they're not playing against AI. It's always a new experience every time they sit down to play, and so the need to go get up from the sofa and go grab another experience isn't nearly what it used to be. And so, understanding that, what we're trying to do in Tulsa is, in real life, create a community for that gamer, what we're calling the cultural and the social gamer, to have a place to hang out and play in real life these games that they're otherwise going home and putting a headset on.
So, right now, this is all concept.
Yep.
Is this something that, based on the feedback so far, that, because I've been asking people that are in the store either playing or just visiting, everybody so far has been positive. Like, they love just getting together with their friends or just showing up to see, like, let's say last night was Fortnite Friday, stuff like that. So it's not 100%, right? But are we going to see this in the future at other stores, like maybe in the bigger cities soon?
You will definitely see pieces of this in other stores, and you may see this in other stores. It is... The metaphor I use for this is we're just barely out of the gate, and it's the baby is just now eating solid food, and everybody wants to know where they're going to college. You know, what are they going to be when they grow up? It's a biological metaphor. Is we need to see how the thing grows and how people interact with it to understand what's the real magic from a consumer-centric, gamer-centric perspective. That is the thing that they want. And we built these stores to be very modular so that we can shuck and jive according to what the customer tells us is where the opportunity is. I think we'll run this for certainly this year and gather all of those learnings, measure the investments that we've made relative to where the gamer is willing to give us opportunity, and then decide from that what is the next format that we could roll out from this.
Yeah, I could also see, this is just me, make-believe. I also mentioned to Zach, and Zach started laughing, but yeah. I could see, like, a mature audience location where they have drinks, beer.
Sure.
You know, so, 'cause there's, yeah. That's, especially in New York City, because one of the things that I remember as a kid, going to, like, different stores or bars back then, arcades was, like, a big, huge thing in the 80s and the 90s, right?
No,
but then consoles came out.
Yep.
Slowly, you barely can see any places with or arcades. But now, our generation are already old enough, you know, to start drinking and everything. So there's a lot of bar arcades.
Yes.
In New York City, in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Do you see something
place
like...
place in Dallas called Barcadia.
Yeah. But I can see something like that for you guys, too. You know? So, like,
yeah. We have a laundry list of potential innovations, those kind of things we're looking at. Should we be in the marketplace business? There's all sorts of various ways for us to continue to experiment.
Yeah.
But, you know, at our roots, if you look at just strategically, you got to think about what is your core business? Who is your core customer? What are you actually good at relative to everything else in the ecosystem? And fundamentally, we are very good at hyper-local places that are staffed by people that are players too, and they're just extremely passionate at gamers. They self-select to come work at GameStop because they have the same passion that our customers do. And so strategically, when you look at that, it becomes just the most obvious thing that requires the least amount of us stretching into areas that where we may or may not have competence, is to just harvest the customer traffic patterns that we already have, harvest the locations that we already have, which can be gaming spaces, and utilize the already talented and wonderful experts that we have in our store associates and create an experience on top of a transactional retail notion. So.
See, like, one, I also mentioned this to Zach during the last interview I had with him, is two memories I always remember. Is when I went to the store, GameStop, 34th Street, when I bought a Sega Dreamcast at midnight. And the other one was the launch of Halo 2 at the store. Those moments were special to me because I got to meet a lot of the local gamers. Because, look, yes, it's easy to download a game digitally.
Yeah.
But interaction face-to-face is something that there's nothing more powerful than that, you know?
Yes.
So why was it so important for you guys to do that for, like, the GameStop social?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that in and of itself is, you know, some of this is just based on pure belief. And I think generationally, I think there is this latent human need to be together. And I think, and this gets to be, we're probably stretching into areas that are beyond anyone's expertise, but, societally, we don't know where... the smartphone will take us, but it's created an environment that's incredibly antisocial. And the beautiful thing about immersive gaming is it's actually very, very social. And I'll talk to a lot of people in my generation that, you know, think that gaming is creating more dissonance in the community. And it's like, no, this is actually a thing that's bringing people together. And we're just trying to take that one step further, which is let's get together in real life again.
Yeah.
Because I think the world would be a better place if we could all sit around a D&D table and talk through the world's problems or sit next to each other, you know, while we're playing Fortnite and look each other in the eye and say, you know, that was a good kill, or say, talk about something else. So, yeah.
I mean, is this something that you see that's going to help people... help the company get more sales, like at the store, or what? Like, what is the goal?
I mean, at the end of that, we're a publicly traded company. I mean, the goal is to thrive on behalf of our three core stakeholders, which is our employees, our customers, and our shareholders. Mm-hmm. And I think business frequently gets it wrong, where they put the interest of the shareholder. We exist for the interest of the shareholder, but that's an output. It's not an input. And the inputs are treating your employees respectfully in a manner that is natural to them to create that retail environment. If you allow them to do that, they will create an experience for our customer where the customer becomes delighted. A delighted customer is willing, and a customer, the notion of customer just by definition is someone who is willing to transact with a business because the business is providing value commensurate with the money that they're laying out for it. And we have to look at it that way, which is, yes, we're there to make money, but we're there to provide value so that we make money. And that's what we're doing in Tulsa. And I think, you know, the early reads are this is very much worth the cost if from the consumer's perspective, which then becomes a good thing for the business overall.
Yeah, so. I could vision something like, let's say Halo Infinite is coming out.
Yep.
And I go to the GameStop social, and they'll have a tournament before the game comes out, so they can have like people that pre-order the game
could
easily be part of the tournament.
Yes.
And whoever wins gets a free copy, let's say, like something like that.
Exactly.
So I can see something like that with you guys. Right?
It's an active conversation. It's a hard one, you know, as you get into to developers and where they are in the game. You know, you don't want to leak titles too soon. But certainly in beta aspects, the ability to have live betas in person and create events around it and have pizza parties in advance of launches should be an incredibly powerful thing. We did that to great effect with in these Tulsa stores with just the launch of Borderlands this past fall.
We're going right now to the retro store.
Yep.
So how that one is different than social and 2.0?
This one leans on two fronts. So we call it the retro swap store. And part of what we're experimenting overall on a network basis inside of Tulsa is, does a market do better if you have certain stores lean into different experiences, shine the spotlight in a different way than another store, and does that improve the overall network effect within the community? Rather than every store has got to be all things to everyone, and it just scales up or down based on its size. So this retro store is, the gameplay here is they're on, you're going to love it when you see it. It's all these, it's old-fashioned CRT tube TVs.
That's cool.
And we've got a system that's distributing gameplay from all sorts of various old formats into these systems. And so you can play, you know, nostalgia galore across various systems with loads of different games. And then from a transactional standpoint, I mean, you'll see it's got you know, a lot of the design constructs that we were using in the 2.0 and the social store of, it's got a spaciousness, it's video first, so there's not nearly as much signage. But this one leans heavily into used and retro video games. And so it becomes a bit more of a kind of treasure hunt flea market kind of store for the customer that's into that kind of thing. And, you know, think of this as in our network, it's our kind of our clearance store meets our old school record store, you know, with dusty bins that you can go search through, although these are brand new and not very dusty.
But I mean, right now it seems like everybody within the company are confident with the concept so far. Like, so far, again, positive feedback from everybody.
Yeah, the early indicators are really, really positive, and it's something that we want to gestate. We don't want to strike too soon. You know, I think a problem that, and again, more biological metaphors, but I think a problem that business, you know, you want to monetize something too quickly, and I think I have this mantra that we, you know, built Tulsa through, that it's either sort of a sandcastle, which there's an old Spanish author, Jorge Luis Borges, who he's got a great quote that is, nothing is built on stone, everything is built on sand. We must build as if the sand were stone. And there's nothing like disrupted retail to live up to that quote. And Tulsa has become either this metaphorical sandcastle, or it's, you know, we're planting bonsai trees and we prune them and we let them grow in different areas. But don't try to harvest the fruit too soon until you see where the tree is going to grow.
Yeah. So my question I was going to ask, like, when or do you think we're going to see something like this at, like, the other cities, especially major cities?
Well, we'll continue to experiment. I think, you know, the harder question is, when would you roll out something at scale? And I think we've got a lot more work to do just in terms of, and I don't know if you've ever done science fair projects, but you got to build up a base of stats and data according to, let's use a metaphor of a potted plant test. Mm-hmm. And say pot number one was GameStop 1.0, existing GameStop, where it's a transactional business. We do a great job servicing the community for all of their physical good needs and digital card needs in the gaming space. Then we take another pot and we plant in that pot a slightly different seed, which is we're going to have an experience in that store that's a consistent theoretical traffic driving experience in conjunction with the former transactional. But we got to take some of the transactional stuff out of that, the fertilizer in that plant, because we got to make room for this experiential thing. And then on that other plot, we're going to feed it with a different level of air cover advertising and all of that than the previous plot. And then, you know, one is a control and one is a test. And 2 weeks in, you may see the plant and pot number two race up. And 4 weeks later, when it's a big title launch, you may see the other store do better. Mm-hmm. And so what we need is a preponderance of data to know what's working and what isn't, to know what to roll out.
Now, so, with the next-gen consoles coming out later this year, is that something that maybe put you guys on hold to before launching this to, like, other locations? You just want to wait and see how that's going to play out? Or
No, I don't think the new consoles don't have any. They have, I mean, we've been in good conversations with our vendors, all of our vendors, and many of them have come and toured the Tulsa stores. They're very excited about it. The and from a console perspective, you can see that an experiential store like that on new hardware, the ability to put that new hardware in these stores and have people come in and try it before they buy it, is a very, very compelling proposition. That said, I don't, you know, it's. It's not necessarily something that there's an urgency around that, because, you know, it's a natural rising tide that lifts all boats when those consoles come up.
Yeah. And how are you guys going to market this to the non-gamers?
So the marketing plan is it's in its very first phase, which is sort of a teaser phase that includes out-of-home advertising. We've got a little bit of TV advertising, which is the fun spot of just a GameStop associate putting the final touches on the outside of one of these stores.
Yeah.
And a gamer kid comes up to him and says, "What are you doing?" And, he said, "You should come in and check it out." And it's a little bit of a mystery as to what it is you should come in and check out.
Yeah.
And then from that, we're going to launch a very in-depth digital rich media and more, you know, animated GIF kind of media that go through all of the feature sets of these stores, the fact that you can book birthday parties in them, the fact that you can try product before you buy it on our couches, the fact that you can come in and play Fortnite Fridays, you can play D&D, etc. And that will be a really in-depth campaign of advertising that's going to last over the next 18 weeks.
Do you see something like getting content creators to stream live from the store?
Yeah, I mean,
like
so
that? Like,
that's, I mean, you, that's why you're here. We've just now started to kick off, getting folks exposure to it, so that they can, you know, extol the benefits and, you know, raise honest questions around what may or may not work in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this reminded me of so much. I never mentioned this to you, but I used to live in Dominican Republic for like 4 years or so.
Okay.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
And I've always been a gamer, but I always wanted to start a business since a kid with gaming. I just didn't know how.
Yep.
So I went up to my mom and I told her I would love to launch, I call it a club, where people will go and play with my Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or Sega Genesis, but they had to pay me either 30 minutes or an hour. So
yep.
I was the first person that started doing that in the island.
Oh, wow.
And remember,
what town was it in?
This town called San Francisco de Macorís. It's like the third biggest city in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So at that time, there was no internet.
Yeah.
So I launched it, and it was always packed. So there was people coming from different cities, even 3 hours away, 4 hours away, they'll go check it out, play, then they'll take that idea and they'll do it in their town. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is right now I think it's just gonna go like word of mouth about GameStop Social and 2.0.
Yeah.
And I think slowly it's gonna go around that that's gonna be much better than having an ad on the radio.
Trying to force it down people's throats. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So I
think
it's
gonna work. You need to, I mean, we have to create initial awareness for it. I think, you know, I think the social media, I think influence, all of that, word of mouth, is going to be a much better harbinger for us than just hardcore old school advertising. Mm-hmm. But there is just a raw level of awareness that people, you kind of need to prime the pump and get people aware that something has changed, and then we'll let the community react to it.
Oh, like the retro store. Do you see something like doing tournaments from like old school games?
Our
generation will definitely will eat that up and we'll go and play like, let's say, a game like Halo 2 or... Let's even take it even back from like Tetris or Donkey
Kong. Well, but
some
of those old games, as you know, you could have four players on the same screen. And so, like our couches in these new stores, it's just so funny because the games are so data intensive. I think the developers had gone away from couch co-op, and and that's something people love to do. And, you know, so on these couches, we can split the screen into four components, and you can play on your preferred platform, and you can play sitting right next to each other as if the game were designed that way.
My last question, what do you think has I know this has been a crazy experience doing this, working on this with the company. What's something that you have learned during the process of working this?
Boy, we've learned a ton. I was going to say... The tendency to pave sidewalks before where you see where people walk is sometimes a mistake. And you know, and so that's what we're attempting to do here is we're working off a construct, a premise that we call minimum viable product, which is what's the least amount of investment that we can make to create a compelling, desirable product in the store so that we can learn from it, but not overbuild it such that it's immovable and you paid a lot of money for a mistake. And, I would say that the biggest learning is letting yourself learn. It's become a cliche these days of fail fast and learn fast and then scale quickly on something that is working. But in a large organization like ours, that's typically something that it's patience is the big learning.
But one thing that I notice is that you guys are really passionate and excited about this.
Yeah.
Just talking to you guys, like, you know, while we're eating or drinking, behind the scenes, you guys are very excited about this.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, so it's cool we really believe that this could be a movement. You know, the land lounges has existed for a very, very long time, but it's been a very core gamer notion, and there is very much a place for that. The unanswered question is, will the community come out of their homes and come play together? And there's loads of places they can do it. GameStop will not be the only place they can do it, but I think we're going to see a social shift in the way people enjoy games together. Just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. You don't see, like, competing with other locations or anything like that,
I don't
that,
view
right?
it as... I think the more it becomes a thing, the better for everybody.
Yeah.
And we went to Korea to study Korea. I've read some statistics that the PC bangs there, which are... And there's 10,000 of them in Korea.
Wow.
There's a massive cultural difference, which I'll get into in just a sec, but they're 30% of the overall revenue pie of gaming in Korea is just the in sight sitting next to each other in a land lounge playing games together. It's a lot of League of Legends, it's a lot of World of Warcraft, Overwatch is big there, etc. But the cultural difference is Korea is very densely populated, and then the parents there, it's not necessarily a happy place for a kid to have a console in the home and be able to play gaming, because A, there's space constraint in the home, and B, it's just not, it, culturally, that's not something mom and dad think is a good thing to do with the kids. So the way the kids get their gaming in is they go to these places. Here in the U.S., you know, a lot of people have devoted a lot of space inside their home to gaming. And so, you know, and that's the risk that we're taking. That's the question mark on this experiential innovation notion. There's other innovation notions that we can try. I think this one's the most core to who we are, because it's our existing footprint, as I stated earlier, our existing customer base, and our existing associates.
So I was going to say the last question, but for those that are hearing this and they're excited, they want to check this out. I know it's only in Tulsa right now, but if there's a lot of requests, like, come to our town, like, are you basing on that?
Tell them to bring it. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Hit them up on Twitter, yeah, social media, right?
Yeah, yeah. Get a petition going. I would love it if that happened. We want to follow the community where the community wants to go.
All right, cool. So. All right, thanks a lot, Frank. It was a great conversation.
Thank you very much.
And I'm
appreciate
excited
it.
To see what's next for you guys.
As are we. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, man.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So that was my interview with Frank. Thank you to Frank and the whole PR team, everybody, Zach, that we met. Super cool crew. And, you know, thank you for an invitation. Honestly, like, I had no idea what was going to happen when I was planning to come over here. I was like, I was just curious. I'm like, all right, I have a new store. We never covered this before. This is something cool and different. Let's do it. So that's why I came. And, you know, we always hear conversation about our listeners talking about, you know, buying games at GameStop, the good, the bad, et cetera. So that's why I did that. So it was really, really cool. So yes, it. We're going to be back here Sunday, another brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. Actually, Monday. Sunday is the live stream on Twitch. My bad. So you could go to twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio if you want to watch it live. But that's about it. I'm going to be out, and pretty soon I'm actually going to Orlando. I have to speak over there. I'm planning to be there from March 5th through the 8th. So if there's anybody that lives in the Orlando area, or they're close to the Orlando area, please let me know. I'm going to be there speaking at PodFest. There's actually little conferences that is also going to be part of PodFest. So the two I'm going to be talking about, I mean, the two that I'm going to be talking at is the CinemaVoz. That one is all strictly about voice acting, voiceovers, also about podcasting, how I started, you know, doing live reads and commercials from like 2001. I have like exclusive audio that I've never played this before, so from like 01, and slowly I showed everybody my promos from the past, from like Community Vibes, from Panasonic, Vieira. I did an ad for that and everything, so it's really cool. Can't wait to show that. And of course I'm gonna be talking about GTR, how it is now and everything. So, and also there's another event called Sports PodCon. That one I'm going to be talking about how I started covering esports from like back in 2005 to now. And I'm also going to mention a little bit of the history of like me watching movies or seeing events locally in New York that has to do something like with tournaments. And it's not esports, but kind of like similar, and something that it was like that back then, you know, pro gaming and everything. So talk about MLG, Halo 2, everything. So Smash. So that's going to be a pretty cool event. So if you're planning to go, if you're going to be there, would like to meet up, please hit me up. Danny@GamertagRadio.com. That's Danny@GamertagRadio.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, Godfrey, GODFREE. And we'll plan something out for sure. All right. So that's about it. Thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm out. Take care.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.